We've spent a week preparing for VBS, actually a little more than a week, but we've really intensified this last week. A number of people responsible for what all we've got doing, and our goal is to top last year's each time. Brian Cobb stood down here last night and he said, if y'all don't part the waters next year, you failed compared to what we've done this time. So hopefully it'll be a neat deal. We want a visual image for the kids, stick in their head, change their lives. I mean, to see the presentation that we have, and that's our goal every year, is to impact children. I'll say it every week. If you would have came into my Sunday school class when I was that age and said, somebody in here is going to be teaching Sunday school in 20 years, you would not have picked me. I may not have been there that day. You may not have picked me. We're making investment on this church's future and our future in general and the kingdom of God. So with that in mind, we try and give our best. That's what we do. We should give our best. God expects our best. We should give our best every time. So, Mark, chapter number 9. Amazing story last week. Jesus takes three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they go up onto the Mount Hermon, and there Christ is transfigured and talks with Moses and with Elijah. Pretty amazing stuff. These guys are witness to it. They stand there and see these heavenly beings, recognizing them, which I think is amazing. I think that's just really, really cool that they just looked over there and said, hey, John, it's Moses. Isn't that going to be cool when we get to heaven? You go, hey, which one of them's Adam? Oh, there he is. Okay, we're gonna be able to do that. I think that's just so neat that they stood there and witnessed it. Think of how close to heaven they were. Here's some heavenly beings, people who had gone on before. God was present there in His voice from the cloud. There's a sermon about how close Judas was to salvation. If you ever stop and think about how close he was, not because he walked with Jesus and the disciples and was taught by Jesus Christ, but we understand that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed so hard that droplets of blood began to come off of his face and fall onto the ground. And Judas, to tell which one the Roman soldiers was to grab, went up and kissed him on that blood. That's pretty close. The blood that had the power to save him, he just kissed it away. I mean, to see that and to see these guys sitting right there, Peter says, hey, we're in the right place. Man, we all just need to stay here together. Matter of fact, us three will build you three a tabernacle. Jesus said, we won't have no part of that. You can't put Jesus Christ on the same level as men. You can't do it. So they come from being on the Mount of Transfiguration, back down the mountain where the multitudes were gathered. And guess who was there? The scribes. Mark tells us later, beware of the scribes, for they seek to kill Jesus. That's why it's so important of what Bible we have, is because who does Bibles? Who makes copies of the Bibles? The scribes. Jesus Himself warned us, beware of them. Be leery of them. When we talk about doing King James Bibles, man, be leery of those other translations. I go to a couple of passages of Scripture when I see one, and I just look to see what that passage says. Paul and Silas were at Philippi. And the one woman that was possessed, that was a soothsayer, was able to tell the future and make her owner's money. She come behind them every day and hollered, "They're the men that serve the Most High God that show us the way of salvation." A lot of those other translations say, "Of the Most High God that show you the way of salvation." God can save everyone. No one is immune from His love. Even someone possessed. We'll see it again here in a minute. Same thing. We see demon possession. And there seems to be different levels. Different demonic beings. Mike, I thought about you in this. Just No, not that one. That didn't come out right. Or did it, Dina? I'm sorry. Because I know you're into this kind of part of it, and Scott. But there seems to be, according to the Scriptures, different levels of demonic beings. Demonic beings aren't fallen angels. Okay? There's a group of angels. There's the good guys and the bad guys. And then there's demons. And there seems to be different, if anything, levels of demonic possession. And we're going to see that here. And Jesus tries to explain it to them, that this one he comes up against here is a different kind. And he's going to explain that to his disciples. So after we pray, Mark chapter 9. Father, I thank you again for your word. Father, I thank you that each of these who've come out, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, that we would be able to understand through your Spirit, Father, that you would teach this lesson and that we would understand through you. And Lord, I pray that we would be fortified, Lord, with your word. It's all we need. It's all we need to take. And Lord, I think about Scott offering up his prayer, and Lord, that humanistically speaking, there's no hope. But Lord, with you, we have our hope. Lord, we thank you for that hope, that we can come to you, we can turn to you. Lord, we see in this passage of Scripture where this father knew where to place his hope. And Lord, we thank you again for each of these who come out. Lord, bless our church. Lord, bless our endeavors in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. As I said, they come off the mountain. They come back down into the real world. You ever done that? We used to say when we would go to Silver State Youth Camp, it was up in the mountains. We used to tell the kids, "Man, when you're up on the mountain, it's easy to serve God. Woo, praise the Lord. When you come down off that mountain and get in a valley, look out. Look out. It gets a little tougher." So, metaphorically speaking, up on the mountain in Colorado, man, it's easy to serve God. There's no electronic devices. There's no, you know, foul language going on. There's no crisis at work going on. But boy, you come off that mountain and come down the valley, look out. And this is what happened. They're up there with heavenly beings, and they come down back down to the valley. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. It was a pretty easy mark for the scribes. They could go question them disciples. They didn't have the answers. Jesus shows up. Look at verse 15. "And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him." He must have had some kind of remnant left over from his transfiguration. Somewhat like maybe Moses when he was allowed to see God's trail pass by and his face glowed. Look what it says here. When they came down and saw him, they were greatly amazed. They knew who he was before he went up there. They were amazed at him then. But he comes back and they're greatly amazed. And they ran over and saluted him. Verse 16 says, "And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" He comes back and says, "Hey, you've been asking them questions. Ask me the question. Ask it of me." "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit.'" So one of the scribes says, "Forget all this nonsense. I got a problem. And it's a problem that's near and dear to me. I've got a son in Afghanistan or Iraq. I got something that's near and dear to me. Forget all this nonsense. Forget about them asking the scribe stuff. I got the important question of the day because it's near and dear to me. We're going to see where Jesus explains to them that through fasting and prayer, things get done. Man, when you focus your mind on a certain prayer, it develops a fasting and it develops a earnest prayer to God. This scribe said, don't even deal with them. I got a situation here because it's my little boy. We find out that it is just a little boy. Man, don't pick on kids. Whoo! I'm just saved. I'm not a Christian. And you go to picking on little kids, I get upside down. Anybody's little kid. Anybody's kid. You know, we can kind of read through the Scriptures and see where demons take over the demonic that was at Gadarenes, where he's in the tombs and he's tormented every day and everybody avoids him. Now, he's a grown man possessed by a legion. But here's a demon that takes over a little boy. Man, that's rough. That's rough stuff. And his dad has absolutely no hope. He says in verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth him, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. This he here, he's talking in the possessive of the demon. He says, wherever he takes him, he tears at him. And he does so much torture and torment to him that my little boy's just pining away. You've seen people like that what we determine pining away, oh, they've lost their significant other and, boy, they just don't want to be in society and they're just pining away. This little boy was not only deaf and dumb, but this demonic took him wherever he wanted to. We're going to see here in a minute that several times he tried to kill him. This demonic took him and threw him in the water, or took him and threw him in the fire. And this demonic, we're assuming as humanistically thinking, is this grown demonic takes over this body of this little boy. Man, that's tough stuff. I already hate him. I'm already mad at him. You know? Pick on somebody your own size, right? We do that. But he says, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Look with me in Mark chapter 6. We learned this several weeks ago. Chapter 6 and verse 7. Remember when Jesus sent out the disciples? Verse 7 says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. They had the power to do it. This dad ends up having kind of a setback. He brought him, you know, the word was out. Man, if you can get him in that group right there, the word's out. Hey, your church prays. Take this piece of paper for me. Man, we're like the Wailing Wall here, aren't we? Man, if they can just slip it in the door, that's good, isn't it, Kelly? That's good. I just made that up. We are. If they can just get it through the crack of the door, God's going to hear their petition. Amen. Man, doesn't that make you feel good? You know, Mom, when those guys come to you and say, I want on your prayer, I'm telling you, if y'all want something done, talk to my wife. She talks to God. I'm talking about God. There you go. Yeah. And He hears her. I'm telling you, you need something done, she talks to God. But isn't that neat that somebody would say, hey, I'm going to pray, but man, if y'all would pray, God probably listens. Right? That's great, man. That what a testimony for us. But the dad had went to the disciples. Jesus is away. The dad comes to the disciples and says, "My son is demon-possessed." And they said, "Hey, we got this. We've already been given the power to do it. Get out of him." Nothing happened. There sits the dad going, "Man, all hope is gone. I got nothing. There's nobody else. Can't take him to Mayo. Can't take him anywhere else. All hope is gone." Jesus comes back to the multitude and he says, "Hey, what's been going on with the questioning?" And the guy says, "Hold everything. There's still hope. There's still hope. I need it right now." He says, verse 19 says, and he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Boy, there's some good news. Bring him unto me. Now, when you know who you're taking him to, that's a great thing to hear. Bring him unto me. You know, again, this is a soft part of our heart. Most of us have kids in here. Most of us have went through those unsure times or those scary times. Jesus says, "Bring him unto me." That was a command. And you got problems? Bring them unto me. Jesus said, "Bring them unto me." Because there's nothing that he can't do. Those disciples failed. He's going to explain to them why. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. This was an especially defiant demon. Normally, when Christ called out or talked to demons, they shook in fear. Don't send us to the abyss. You understand that there's hell, and then the bottommost utter part of hell is the abyss, where the demons are going to go. They said, don't send us away. Don't make us go there now. We know we're headed there. Don't make us go there now. Must be kind of a bad place if the bad demons don't want to go there. He says, don't send us away. But this one just showed him how powerful and who he was. The little boy falls around on the ground. The Greek actually says that he went into kind of a convulsive state. That's the demon doing that to him. Right in defiance of who created the demons. I don't know why. That's question number 3 when you get there, okay? First, does Adam have a navel? Don't laugh at me, Kelly. That is a legitimate question. Does he? Question number 1, okay? Are y'all's questions in order different? I don't know, but number 3 is why the demons, okay? I'm reserving a number 2, all right? Rod, don't laugh at me, man. It's just how my mind works. Yeah, that's just how my mind works, all right? By the way, it don't matter if Adam has a navel. Ask him when you get there. So well, you won't have to say, "Let me look," because he's just going to be there, you know? Yeah. Okay? Man, y'all leave me alone. This demon throws the little boy on the ground. He goes into convulsions, wallowing and foaming. Verse 21 says, and he asked his father, "How long is ago since this came unto him?" Now, this is Jesus Christ. He reads our minds. He didn't ask this question for himself, okay? Everybody get on that right thought? Here's the apostles standing here. Here's the multitude here. Hey, won't you let everybody know that this isn't a new thing? I know. Let everybody else know so that they get a meaning out of this. He says, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Underline this in your Bible. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This father says, I've been told that you can do anything. If you can, give me a little bit of it. See, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every now and then we just want to help him get some in the trailer and head toward the sale barn, you know? I mean, every now and then. The father says, and again, his spirit has been dampened because the apostles tried it. It didn't work. They were given the authority to do that, and it didn't work. Oh no. Now what? He says, But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. It wasn't just his little boy. It never is. It's not just about your little boy. Right? It's never just about, well, they've got a problem. It's about us. I'll tell you, when I hear prayer requests from y'all sometimes, it just takes my week. Because it involves us. You know, I have a thought during the day, man, how's so-and-so's mom? Or how's, you know, I thought about a family that we knew they were on vacation, but then they should have been back when I called them, you know. How are y'all? Well, we've been sick. Okay. So, it's not just, hey, can you fix him? What did he say? He said, can you have compassion on us and help us? And Jesus said unto him, look what he says. He throws it right back on him. If thou canst believe. He said, if thou can do anything, Jesus said, well, I'll tell you this. I can do that if you can believe. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I'm not going to get into the deal of, well, you don't believe enough, you don't have enough faith, therefore things are... No. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why some people get healed of things and other people don't. I don't know why. I don't know that it has to do with their faith or lack of faith or more faith. I don't know. But Jesus says to this man, because the man said, if thou canst do anything, Jesus said, well, if you can just believe, then anything turns into all things. All things are possible to him that believeth. Again, the father's, his confidence was shaken. He probably had some doubt in there. What are you fixing to try? Because they just told the devil, get out of him. They told that demon, get out of him. But their word wasn't the authority of his word. Look at the authority of his word. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, when he says that, that has a significant meaning. Very significant meaning. When we pray, Lord, we're saying that you are our Lord and our Master. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He said, I got some faith, but man, I need some help. I believe you're who you are, but I got this situation. Help my unbelief. We sing that song. Help my unbelief. And it should bring new meaning to you when you hear it now. He says, I got that saving faith, but man, this is different. This is living life faith. I've told y'all before, He gives us that faith of salvation. He gives us that I believe. But we have to work on our faith. How do you work on anything? You experience it, right? You know? How do you hit a curveball? You got to have some thrown at you. Right? Every now and then you got to swing and miss and swing and miss and throw me one more. I about got it figured out. We don't ask for another one. How about just a two-seamer right down the middle, huh? I'm sorry, Tracy. I thought about you on this. We have to experience some things that will help our unbelief. I tell you now, financially, the things that befall me today took me under 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, the sky's falling. Now I just go, Monday's on the way, you know. My faith is stronger. I know my God. I know what my God can do and what He has done and what He's going to do. Right? Everybody's experienced some of that, you know. But the only way our faith is going to be strengthened or grow is if we go through stuff. Make sense now? You know, sometimes you go, man, what's going on? What is happening? Open your eyes. Learn something through this. Strengthen my faith. See, Brother Jernigan used to say, you can fight your battles, God will hold your coat. He'll hold your coat and you go do the battle, or you just say, you know what, I'm going to go on over here. You deal with that. My faith is stronger. We have to experience things. Experience is what allows us to grow stronger. The Father said, Lord, I believe. I'm saved. Now help me to have faith in my daily walk. Help me to have faith in the things that I need to do. And then verse 25, it kind of changed course. It says, he says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, here they come. Hey, he's over here. He's probably fixing to do a miracle. Hurry, everybody get over here so we can see this. Jesus didn't want no healing show going on. He was dealing with the Father and a little boy that had nothing to do with anything. So look what Jesus says. He says, and when he saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. That I is just who you're thinking about. That's I am. That wasn't a man saying, hey, you've done enough here, get out. That was the Creator of the universe saying, I said, get out of him. There was no choices here. There was no, I'm going to stay a little longer. No, he was getting out. But don't miss this last part of his phrase. And enter no more into him. Think about the dad. What a relief. Hey, wait a minute. When y'all go down here, what's going to keep him from coming right back? Where's he going to go? You told him to get out of him. Is somebody else going to have to take him? That dad said, he ain't going to take my son anymore. How many have ever said, hey, let it befall me, not my kid? Right? Here this guy, this dad, here's his Lord and Savior, and enter into him no more. Whew! This was rough enough. Glad that's over and can never happen again. Because I am said, get out of him and don't come back. And the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. Looked like he was dead. He rent this little boy and he falls on the ground as he leaves him. Little boy probably exhausted physically from all this torment. And he's finally clean. And he lay there still as if he was dead. And he says, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. Man, what a picture. You got problems? Just reach up. Let Jesus take you by the hand. Can you imagine that? Hear this little boy, been tormented by this demon, left for dead, and who picks him up but Jesus Christ? He says, and when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind. You see that? He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. He said, all those other ones, I think were different. This kind right here, he's a tough nut right there. He says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I told y'all a minute ago, when you get into a situation where your focal prayer point is this right here, and your earnest prayer is to God in that way, it changes things. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. Yeah? You know, I told y'all, there is no such thing as minor surgery to me. Y'all have minor surgery all you want. Y'all have all the outpatient surgery you want. If they're going to do anything to me, every one of y'all better be at this altar. Hear me? Ain't no such thing. You had minor surgery. Oh, I've got to have a little procedure is what it's called, not surgery. If I got a procedure, y'all better be down here. I'm telling you, every one of you, you hear me? Oh, I will. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. We've all been there. And I got this question, but I got a stupid question, right? I'm afraid to ask this, but they saw him rebuke Peter about a week ago, and they said, what's he say? I don't, you ask him. I'm not going to ask. You ask him. He knew their thoughts. They didn't get that, you know. You know, we think, man, I ought to ask God for that, but man, he won't. He already knows. Already happened, okay? He says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? Uh-oh. Busted! They were back there walking along. He knew, again, how long has this child been possessed? He knew that. Hey guys, y'all were talking about something you didn't think I had any idea about? Whoops! Already had the idea about it, okay? He says, by the way, what was it that you guys disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Man, watching all that good stuff, and they said, I'm it. Surely it's going to be me. Or you'd hear, oh, no, it's John. Well, Peter's always the one out front. It's probably him. They disputed among themselves. Man, I'll tell you what. If you want a lesson in lowliness and meekness, Dr. Henderson will get upside down fighting mad if you say something complimentary in public about him. Am I right? You know why? Because if you get blessing here, you don't get them up there. I want all mine up there. And don't make mention of me anymore. I just kind of want to be behind the scenes, you know? They disputed among themselves who would be the greatest among them. And you know what? We don't even debate that today. 12 apostles. I don't know that I've ever said, man, who's your favorite? Who's the guy, you know? We don't do that today because of the lesson that Jesus teaches them. If you want to be the first, you got to make yourself the last. I've told y'all this before. We as Heritage Baptist Church should never come together and eat. We should have it all set up, but we should never come and eat. Because everyone should be saying, no, you first. No, you go. No, you go first. And at some point, somebody's got to go, okay, I'll do it. But we should always be going, no, you go first. No, I'll wait. You go first. That's the way it should be. And it should be, hey, somebody go through the door. Right? That's the way it should be. Jesus is going to teach that next week, teaching humility. Be sure and be present, those of you who... Kevin. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, thank you for the Spirit that's here, and Lord, that you would teach us your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, that we would apply it in our lives. Lord, that we would carry it daily with us. Lord, that people would see us and see you. Father, we do want that, Lord, that others would know salvation. Lord, be with us through our services. Lord, be with the pastor as he brings a message. In Christ's name, amen.